plenty of time before you know it. Boom. Let us just ask God's blessing on our time together and let the Holy Spirit work. Father, again this morning, we're thankful for the privilege to be here, to listen, to understand, and to appreciate the precious Word of God. Bless our sister now as she ministers in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Bless Amen. You, dear.
Thank you, Pastor Brayton. Wonderful. It's good to be here. It's been a while since I taught. So, I mean, here it's been a while since I taught. I just came back from India, so I did 6 weeks of teaching and ministering in India to orphans, to having pastor leader conferences, teaching the people. So it's been kind of exciting, and I'm still, I think, on a high from that. But anyway, but this morning, I asked the Lord, you know, a couple days ago when Pastor asked me to teach this morning, I said, you know, Lord, what is it you want me to do? And I'm going to share something about the season that we're in. This is a hard season for everybody. And this is, when I came back from India last October, the market had crashed, I realized, during that October time frame. And everything just, in America, we all started tumbling. It's like our whole lives just started, it seemed like it was falling apart. When the stock market crashes, it affects us all. People started losing their homes, losing their jobs. Life was very unstable. And it hasn't changed yet. And it's the season that we're in right now. And so I went into prayer and fasting. And, you know, God does speak to me through dreams, and He shares things with me. And I asked Him, I said, Lord, what is happening? I said, Your people are being affected by this. I mean, I can understand the unbeliever because you're trying to draw them and, you know, get their attention. I said, but why are you doing this to your people? I just don't understand this. And that night I had a dream. And I want you to all turn, because this is our text for this morning, because I'm going to share with you what I believe the Lord shared with me and the season that we're in, and what He is doing within His own people. So turn to John 15. And we're going to read verse 1 and 2. And in this dream, this is the verse that actually the Lord read out. He spoke it out to me. As a couple, actually the couple that was in my dream, go to this church. They're very godly people. They're very wealthy people. And they're standing there, and God started speaking this verse towards them in my dream. And the verse was, this was the priestly prayer of the Lord. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it or purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And then the Lord spoke and said, my people are in the last part of that verse. And then He spoke it and He said, I'm pruning them. I'm pruning my people. And I thought, wow, that is amazing. We're going through a season of pruning. And that's not easy for us. I mean, pruning is not a fun process to go through. When you think about trees when they get pruned, you know, you feel like your limbs being cut off. You know, you feel like sometimes you're being cut off at the knees. I mean, these are our limbs, and we are the branches that are connected to the vine or the trunk of the tree, who is Jesus Christ. And then the farmer or the vine dresser, who is the Father, this is Father God, He comes. He is the one that comes and actually does the pruning. It's not the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the trunk. He's where we get our nourishment from. But we are the branches connected to that vine. And so the Father is coming, and He's pruning each of us in different ways. We're all having to deal with different things in our lives right now in this season. Some of us just need a little bit of pruning. Some of us need a whole lot of pruning. And it's a very hard thing to have to go through. And so this past year, I've been pondering that dream, because God gave me a second dream also. And the second dream I'm going to share with you the next time I have this, to do this teaching, unless God says I should do it before I leave, I will. But because it's a dream, it's powerful, and it goes along with this one, because it's the second process. What is God trying to do in our lives by pruning us? And then he showed me another dream, and he showed me exactly what he's doing to his people, and he's actually adding his glory to his people. And so it's pretty exciting. So why does God prune us? You see, I told you that Jesus was the vine, and we're supposed to stay connected to the vine. For the vine is where we get our sap from. It's where we get the nourishment from. And a lot of times we'll find ourselves not bearing the fruit that God wants us to bear, and so he has to come and prune us so that we don't get too far out there. We need to stay very close in to the vine. And so the vine dresser comes and he starts pruning his trees. I mean, any of you who are gardeners, you know what happens. You know, you get a tree, and in order for it to look nice, to produce luscious fruit, to produce a lot of fruit, it's got to get pruned. There is a season of pruning. It doesn't produce fruit during that season. It's a very dark, gloomy, hard, cold season in our life that God does the pruning. But you have to know that the Father God knows everything. He knows all about the perfect time to prune us. And even though it's a time that looks dark and gloomy and it feels horrible to us, God knows. He's very, very careful at the time he does the pruning in our lives. And he knows how much to prune too. And we have to trust our Father God to know that what he's doing in our lives is the best thing for us. It's the best way for us to bear the luscious produce that he's looking for. Isn't that what a farmer is looking for when he has a crop? Does he just plant the crop just for the sake of planting the crop, or is he looking for produce? God, our Father God, is looking for produce in our life. And he's not just looking for quantity of produce. He's looking for quality of produce. You know, you can get a tree that's out there and its limbs are extended very far up, you know, a proud tree, you know. But how much fruit is it going to produce if those limbs are real long and the sap is not making it to the ends of the tree limbs? You know, so God has to come and he has to prune us back to make sure that not only are we producing a lot of fruit, but that we're producing quality of fruit. God wants quality in our lives too. And so I believe over this last year, this is the things that God was showing me. So he wants results. So I had to ask myself three questions. Is my life making a difference? Is your life making a difference? Because God is looking for results in your life. God is looking for a product. Are you producing his product? There's a lot of product out there. You know, there's a lot of different kinds of fruit in the world, right? There's even bad fruit. There's rotten fruit. There's fruit that doesn't smell good, doesn't taste good. It doesn't produce anything. It doesn't give nourishment to those who come and eat the fruit. You know, there's some even demonic fruit out there. Bad stuff that will actually taste good to someone, what'll poison them, okay? But God is asking for the good fruit. He's asking for us to produce fruit that when somebody comes and picks the fruit from us, and they taste it, and I say, the Lord is good. They are to taste and see that the Lord is good. And that is what God is producing in our life right now during this pruning season. And I'll tell you what, my husband and I are being pruned too. You know, I thought, well, God, you don't have to prune us. We're in ministry. We're doing the work, oh God. You know, look at all the work we're doing in India. We're raising up orphanages. We're raising up churches. We're finding sponsors for these orphans. And there's pastors that, you know, we're finding sponsors. But we're doing the work of God, you know. And yet God saw it fit to prune us too. And it was a very, very hard season over the last year and a half for my husband and I. Here we thought, you know, our income was going as much as we could possibly put into the ministry of our own personal income. And God zapped our income. I'm like, what are you doing? Don't you know we're doing your work? You know, but there was something else during that time that God wanted to do in our life. He wanted to produce more fruit. He didn't want to just us to use our money for kingdom purposes. And that is, yes, he wanted us to do. But with Doug having a good job, it's so easy not to trust God for the finances either, because I can trust his job for the finances. You know, I knew how much he was going to get in. I'm a woman of budget is what the pastors in India call me, a woman of budget. And so I can really budget well, so I can do the kingdom work, and I can, you know, I mean, I have it. I'm sure of it. But God, all of a sudden, he just pulled the rug out from under us. Not his job, but the situation we were in where we built a house. And once we had that house built, that was supposed to go for kingdom purposes, and it didn't sell. And then here we are stuck with $1 million. We built $1 million house because we wanted to do a lot of buildings, you know, and we were stuck with it. I'm like, oh, God, what are we going to do? And now all of a sudden we have $6,000 mortgage payment that we have no money to take care of. So during this last year and a half season, God was pruning us in that area. And we didn't know from month to month where the money was going to come because my husband only made his set salary and I didn't work. The work that I do for Oil of Joy Ministries is free. I just do it. It's just a volunteer. And so I had no income. And I'm like, oh my goodness, how are we going to pay our bills? And how am I going to do the rest of India stuff? And it was like, I actually started to panic. I'm thinking, God, I was doing your work. Why are you doing this to us? You know, I don't understand. Why would you feel you would need to prune us? And during this whole time, even though we were kingdom-minded, God taught us every single month for 18 months now straight, he provided the excess through all kinds of weird means. I mean, strange means. He provided to take care of our bills when his income failed. I mean, it didn't extend to it all. So for us, the time was, trust me, have faith that because you're kingdom-minded and you've given your time and your money into my kingdom, I needed to develop you in a different area, and that was trust me for what you can't have any control over. And that was true. We had no control over our finances anymore. It was like there was just nothing, not enough to go around. And God supernaturally brought in those extra funds, every single month for 18 months. I'm shocked every single time. It's like, I don't know where it's going to come from, but it just supernaturally shows up. One time it supernaturally showed up on our bank account, and the bank said we had more than I said. We had a couple thousand more. And I said, no, I'm a woman of budget. I know what's in my account. And they said, I'm sorry, here it is. Here's your deposit slip. You deposited $2,000. And I'm like, you're kidding. That is my handwriting. And I thought to myself, can angels duplicate my handwriting? I didn't know. But I'm just saying, God, it doesn't matter even if you're the most godly person and doing kingdom work for God, you're still going to get pruned in the season because it's the season of pruning for each of us. And then the third was, how effective are you? See, God is looking for effect in our life. He wants us to be effectual in every area of our life. So he wants to prune us so that those three things, we can be effective, we can be producing for him. I mean, these are the things that God is looking for. He's not just looking for any old fruit. He wants a luscious fruit and he wants a lot of fruit. I mean, he's a good businessman. He really is. God, Father God is a good businessman. And we talk about that. Father God is the gardener. And he takes away those branches. And you know, he takes away some, he prunes some, and we need to stay very, very close to Jesus Christ during this time that we're being pruned, because that's who gives us the nourishment, the sap during the time, so that when the season is over, when it's time for the tree and the branch, the bud, we have lots of buds, because we know that the buds produce what? Fruit. Exactly. And so what God was showing me was, I do prune Christians. And that's a hard one. You think you don't need to be pruned. You're a Christian. I'm godly. I love God. You know, I have devotions every day. I pray every day. I'm in the Word. You know, I go to church. I'm faithful. I even come to Bible study at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings. How many people do that, right? And yet God sees it fit to prune his people. And he has to. He has to. You're not exempt. And, you know, I thought about it. I said, gee, God, even Peter was not exempt. I was talking to Angelo this morning, and I said, you know, when Jesus came to Peter, he said, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. Did Jesus say, but I prayed so that he couldn't touch you? No, he didn't pray that, did he? He said, I prayed that your faith would not fail, and then when you're through it, you will strengthen your brothers. Yeah. Of all the people, if Jesus had prayed to his Father, say, oh, Father, don't let Peter go through this. You know, he probably would have gotten the answer. But what would it have done to Peter's life? Peter needed some sifting. He needed pruning. And he was one of the three in the inner circle, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. So don't think just because you're really close to God and you're, you know, his buddy in inner circle, chances are you'd be the first ones to be pruned. Because that's what Peter was. He was one of the first ones to be pruned. Because he was the inner circle. And so the question I want to go through today is, why does God prune us? I found six reasons that I want to share with you. Number one is for us to grow in our relationship with him. God is more interested in you being with him than doing for him. And I had to learn that the hard way, because sometimes in ministry, some of us as ministers and pastors, and you know, I'm an ordained minister, you get so caught up in doing for God, you forget to spend time being with God. And you know what? That's the most important thing to God, is you being with him, not doing for him. The reason is if you go and you do a lot for God and you're busy, 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 you forget what it's like to have that fellowship with God. You abort that part of your life sometimes. You could easily do that. You can spend time so busy in ministry that you forget to actually have that quiet time with the Lord. Do you know your ministry and what God has called each of you to do is actually birthed out of your being with God, not the other way around? You think I'm going to be busy for God and all of a sudden it's going to birth a ministry for me? Uh-uh. The ministry is birthed in your relationship with God. Because you can do ministry and you can be toiling and toiling and burning yourself out. God has not called the Christians to have burnout. They've not called Christians to have burnout. And we can burn out because we work hard doing what you believe God has called you to do, whether it's ministry, whether it's your job, whether whatever your call is in life, whatever you're doing that you know God has called you to, because God's not ever called everybody to do ministry work, but you're all ministers. You're all ministers in the jobs that you're in. That's your ministry. And if you spend all your time building that up and not building this up in the Lord, it'll all fall apart. You're going to feel tired. You're going to feel exhausted. So this is one of the things that's very important. God is more interested in the development of your character than in the provision of your comfort. You know, I've heard that a long time ago, and I thought, that is so good. God's not interested in you being, per se, comfortable. He's interested in developing your character. And the only way your character can be developed is to get to know the one who has the character that you need to have. And so you have to spend time in the presence of the Lord and allow his character to be formed and developed in you. Isn't that what Jesus said, that we're supposed to be developed into his image?
Right.
And the character, it's not like God wants to take our personality away. He is only trying to purify our character. That's all, our personality. He doesn't take our personality. He loves individually each of us the way we are. He created us that way. He created us with our personality. All he's trying to do is purge our personality from the world, the influences that the world have incorporated on the many years that we've been alive and on the earth. You know, so being with him is the only way that's going to happen. And so number two was to be fruitful for him. He wants results. He wants effectiveness. People need to look at us and see that we're effective for God's kingdom, whether it's in your job or in ministry itself. People need to see that. They need to see that God, and God needs to see that. He wants you to be effective for him. You're his ambassadors. How does people know Jesus? It's through us. Jesus is not going to come on the earth anymore and walk around and create miracles, okay? The miracles, if there are any miracles to be done, it has to be done through us now. We lay hands on the sick, pray. God heals them, yes, but he heals them through us. We are Jesus' hands. We are his feet. We are his mouth. And so in order for Christ to be effective on the earth, he is effective through us. That's why it's important that we be effective, that we have results in our life. And unless we go through the pruning process, we're not going to have the right results. We're not going to have the right effect on the earth. If we don't yield our members totally to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you know, we're not going to be as effectual as we would like to be, or that like he would like us to be. So that was number two, is really important that we yield our hearts and our spirits and our bodies and our souls and our minds to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It's not about us, is it? Everything on this earth is about him and his kingdom coming on the earth. And how does his kingdom come on the earth? Through us. His will be done through us. His kingdom will come through our effectiveness from the results of us doing and yielding to Jesus Christ. You know, when somebody comes up and they have a problem, they have a struggle, how effective are you? Can you help produce goodness in their life? Can they come to you and get counsel? Can they come to you and get encouragement? When they talk to you, do they go away saying, oh God, that was, I feel worse than I did before I talked to them? Or do they go and say, wow, I feel uplifted. I feel like I can make it. I feel like now I have hope again. That is the effectiveness of God in your life, in each of your lives. And if you're not feeling that, if people walk away and saying, you'll have phone calls from people, and you look at the idea and say, oh no, I don't want to talk to him. I don't want to talk to her. You know, because you know that once you get off the phone, you're going to feel yucky. You feel like you've just been dumped on. You know, you feel like you're a trash can with a hairy lid on, you know, and they just dumped on you. That's not effectiveness for Christ's kingdom. But do you know when you call someone, oh, I have to call, I'm struggling, I have to call so-and-so because so-and-so is going to lift me up. They're going to encourage me. They're going to give me hope to hang in there and to hang on. That is effectiveness. That is results. Even a prophetic word. You know, you say, well, I'm not prophetic. You all are prophetic. The spirit, the word is, the spirit of prophecy is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have the Lord in you, you don't have to have a now, like God says, go do this. You can give him the word. The word. Any scripture in here that God brings to your mind while you're talking to someone, tell it to him. Perhaps, just perhaps, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, giving you a scripture. You may not even know where the scripture is. A lot of times I don't know where the scriptures are, but I know them. I know some of them anyway. You know, that I can say, you know, God loves you. You're a tree of righteousness planted by the water. You know, your leaf won't wither. You'll be okay. It's just a season you're going through. You're going to come out of that season. I guarantee you're going to come out of that season. And you're going to come out a better person. God is doing something in your life. Take courage. Who was it? James said to count it all joy when you go through trials and tribulations. God is perfecting your faith. He's perfecting patience in you. It's going to be a good thing that you're going through. I mean, when somebody's going through that, when you encourage them that way, that gives them hope to hang in there, to realize that God is doing something in their life that's good, even though it doesn't look real good. You help them in that, like that eye of the hurricane. The eye of the hurricane is quiet, and you got the rushing winds all around you. Well, you're taking them out of the rushing wind and putting them in the eye of the hurricane where there's peace and they're calm. That's where they need to be during this time. And they can only get that in the presence of the Lord. And you help put them there. So that's being effective for God's kingdom. That's results that you're allowing in a person's life. The third one is to create balance in our life. Oh, maybe we're leaning too much in one direction. That is not good for us. A lot of times that happens in our lives. We can get kind of out of whack. You know, we might have excess influences, undue influences that are affecting our life and bringing us down the wrong path. God's going to come in and start pruning some of that stuff because he knows it's not good for you. Now, it may look good to you. You may say, well, I'm being blessed. I think that's a good thing. Doesn't the righteous be blessed? Isn't the people of God supposed to be blessed? But perhaps the place that you're going, the influences that are helping you be blessed, maybe it's not going to lead to the exact place that God really wanted you. You got to understand that we have to trust in God. You know what? God showed me a long time ago, the only way you can trust him is to know him. You really have to know God, or it's very hard to trust him. Unless you know someone, you know what they're like and what their character is like, it's very hard to trust them. I don't just trust a stranger. I don't know them until I know them, and I can say, you know, I might talk to them, I mean, share things with them, but my intimate stuff, my detailed stuff that no one should know except for maybe someone I can trust. They're the only ones who are going to know that kind of stuff. And so you need to know God so you can trust him, so that when these kinds of things, and he starts pruning things in your life, you can be at peace and say, you know what, I know God is doing something, and I'm just going to have to trust him in this. I don't understand this. God doesn't ask us to understand everything he does. His ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. So when we don't understand the circumstances that we're in and why we have to go through what we have to go through, that's the time that you have to trust God. It's a time where if you don't know your God, it's going to be hard to trust him during those times. That's why you had to stay real close to God during these seasons. You have to spend time in his word. You need to spend time praying, because it's a hard season when we go through these kind of things, when God starts taking things away. You know, sometimes he takes it away for our good. Sometimes it takes away for their good. You know, but either way, God is taking things and certain influences, certain people, and because he's trying to bring balance back to our life. And you know what? You know, I was thinking about what these outside influences can do when they creep into our lives. What do? They take away our time. They take away our energy. They take away our money, our resources. Think about this. You know, all of a sudden you got blessed with a bonus in your job, which is, you know, that's good. You know, I pray you get a bonus. I pray I get a bonus. I mean, I don't get something. I get a bonus done. You know, but sometimes we take that bonus, and instead of thinking kingdom-minded and thinking God's kingdom first and all these things will be added unto you, right? We say, oh, let's go buy a boat, and let's go buy this, and let's go buy that, and let's go. And then all of a sudden, the pleasure part comes in, and we spend all our time on the boat, or all our time in the motorhome, or all our time in front of the big screen TV that we bought, and the big plasma thing in the media room. And I'm just giving you an example. I'm just saying that what could happen is those blessings that God meant, maybe for kingdom purposes and to bless you, actually become the chokehold around your neck in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because you're spending all your time in front of it instead of with the Lord. So what he's going to do is he's going to start chopping away. I think his holy lopping shears he pulls out and he starts chopping away some things, and he just prunes them back a bit. He'll just prune our lives back a bit. Perhaps it was just because we need to get more focused in what's really important in our lives. We can get out of balance with pleasure. I tell people there's three types of lives a person can live. One is the pleasureful life. You know, you buy all these things and you have a lot of fun and you enjoy life and you can forget about God. Then there's a busy life. Have you ever met people who are busy, busy, busy with everything? I'm too busy to spend time with the Lord. I got to do this and this and this and this. And they spend all their times consumed with their job, with their hobby. There's no time with the Lord. There's no time in doing the things of the kingdom because they're too busy doing things that will better their life. And then there's a third life, and that's the meaningful life. This is the life that God wants each of us to have. And like Pastor says, it's not that he doesn't want us to have the good things in life. He just doesn't want the good things to have us. Okay? There's a difference there. You know, we are to use things and love people. You know, a lot of times we use people and love things. You know, it's just, it's not right. And so God wants us and helps us to create that meaningful life in our lives. That's what he wants. He wants a meaningful life. And you know what? I was telling Doug, I said, this season, why is this season at Christmas for, you know, most people, the happiest season of the year? Why is it? Why can't they be happy all the time? What is it so great about this season that makes everybody joyful? And I looked and I said, what is the number one thing that people do this season? They give. It's a giving season. You love buying something, and then you're there, and you can't wait for them to open your gift. You know, it brings you such joy because you want to see the expression on their face when they open it up. You know, whether it's the kids, whether it's your spouse, whether it's a family member, you know. And that's why this season is, because it's a meaningful season. You're doing the very thing That is Jesus, the giver of life. You give. And when you're in the giving mode, and if you can be there 24/7, you know, 365 days a year, to be a giver, wow, what a meaningful life. What joy that brings. It just bubbles up out of you. Joy will bubble up out of you. And it doesn't matter what's happening in your life. You can give even in your darkest time. There's some of you in here are going through a dark time. Give. Give. It'll bring joy into your life. Give when it hurts. Give. Because that's the meaningful life. That's the life that God... You know what? You don't own yourself anymore. You have been bought with a price. You are His ambassadors. You're His servants. I like to call myself the Lord's love slave. Because I'm His slave. I'm His servant. Yes, I'm His daughter. I'm His princess. You know. But I'm also a love slave for Him. I will do anything for Jesus because I love Him. And that's the way we all need to be. And even when it's painful, we love. You love. That's what God has called us to do. And so, and you have to realize it's more blessed for you to give, to be a blessing to others and to yourself when God prunes you. So remember, your fruit is for others, not for yourself. Think about that. Your fruit, people come and take from your fruit. It's for them, not for you. And Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And that's what we are to be to others, a tree of life. And if God's not pruning you, if He's not pruning you, perhaps you're not one of His kids. You need to know the reason you're being pruned is because you're one of His kids. Number four, I only got 10 minutes to finish 5 and 6 too, to sustain fruitfulness. More fruit production, more quality. God's looking for quality of fruit. So He takes out that sickle, that sharp knife that He calls a pruning hook, and He starts to cut away dead branches, branches that are unfruitful, and He takes them away. Whatever He does with them doesn't matter. Anyway, He's going to take even some healthy branches. God is going to take healthy branches? Yes, He is. Sometimes the branches just need to go because it's their time. They've blossomed. They've done their full, complete work on the earth. It's time for them, just like Pastor John, his mother was taken. God showed him that she was in full bloom, and He took her as a flower in full bloom. Perfect timing. God takes us when our completed work is done on the earth. Our completed work is done on the earth. It's a good time. It's a time where God said, you've done everything I've called you to do, and now come. It's time for me to enjoy you in a more fuller way. So those branches will be taken. But some of them are healthy, and God chops them. He cuts them. He cuts them in half. He cuts them real close to the vine, even though you're healthy, because He wants you to be produce more. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Even if you're not a healthy branch. So He'll cut the unhealthy ones, but He'll cut the healthy ones too. It'll chop them all off or chop portion of them off. So like I'm saying, you know, if you think you're exempt from being pruned, you're not. You're not exempt. Not in this season. So number five is for nourishment. God wants healthy branches. He wants to better your health. Sometimes we can get unhealthy. We're not getting enough sap in our branches, that we can actually become diseased. So God wants to make sure that we stay healthy, that our fruit is very enlarged, and that we produce that large harvest. It ensures our sufficient energy. We talked about that already, right? God wants to make sure you're energetic for His kingdom. And so for that better fruit, He wants us nice and close to the branch, to the vine. And you know what? I like to be close to Jesus. I think it's a good place to get the full nourishment from Him. And so, but anyway, he'll cut off the branches that just to maximize the fruit production. And you know what? He doesn't want us to stray too far out there. He loves us too much for us to be lost. We can go way out there and our branches in the end will be damaged. Too heavy a bird will kind of fall, you know, land on it and start breaking the branches. You know, God's going to cut all that stuff off. He doesn't want, first of all, us to be damaged or unhealthy. And, you know, James 5 says that the farmer waits patiently for the branches to produce the fruit. Isn't that amazing? God is a long-suffering God. He's very patient. He waits. And then the last one, if God doesn't prune us, we'll grow wild and out of control. And that, if you ever see somebody at wild and out of control, I mean, you know, perhaps they're not a Christian, because God will prune his people so that does not happen. That does not happen. If there's no correction or cutting back, two things I think will happen. And I noticed it because when God was showing me the pruning thing, I went on Google and said, you know, pruning trees. I wanted to see like a farmer in action. I wanted to hear what he had to say about the reason for pruning. And one of the things he said is the tree will get too tall. You know, those branches go way out there. He was saying the sap doesn't go to the end. It's not going to produce the good fruit. But it's so tall that whatever fruit's on the top, nobody can pick it. It's too high up there. It's too high of a tree to pick the fruit. And I thought, well, that was interesting, because I was thinking, tall, proud, you know? Maybe God has to cut us back so we won't become prideful, thinking that we're this big thing, better than somebody else, taller, higher, more beautiful than anybody else. Then the other thing is, the tree, sometimes they'll cut the branches because the tree got too thick. Well, I think thick, like full of themselves, huh? I mean, sometimes we can get full of ourselves if we are, you know, looking really, you know, luscious. And so God will start to prune. And you think about this. God has to prune when you get too thick. First of all, whatever fruit you will produce, nobody can reach it. They can't get in there and get it. You're too thick of yourself, you know, full of yourself to get, for them to be able to grab the fruit. Second of all, if the son of righteousness can't get in there and give the fruit the sunlight that it needs, it's not going to be luscious fruit. It's not going to produce. It might not even mature, really. So God is going to come in and prune us so that we don't go wild and crazy. And so, you know what? Our fruit can't be out of the reach of people, because we produce the fruit for the people. We are the people that are going to draw people to Jesus Christ by the fruit we bear. They're going to taste and see that the Lord is good, or they're going to taste and see that the Lord's not so good. I mean, what do you think the farmer would prefer? The owner of the vineyard is looking for produce in our lives, and he's looking for us to produce for him. And so, like I said, you got, there's a season for everything in our lives. I think it's Psalm 1 says that we bring forth fruit in certain seasons, right? And the season may, like I said, seem dark and dormant and cold and weary to us. And the season may seem an awful long time, too. I believe the season we're in so far, it's been about a year and a half, almost a year and a half since we've been in this season. I don't think it's over yet. I think there's a little longer for this season of pruning to go on in each of our lives, but it is going to be over soon. And the next time I share with you, I'm going to share the second dream where God, what is actually going to happen? What is God doing by the pruning process in our lives? I mean, a little more detail, because the dream was quite an amazing dream that he showed me. And so the next time Pastor Brayton needs a break and would like to, he can invite me, we'll do part two on this, because I'll tell you what, this I really believe my heart was the word of the Lord. This is a word to encourage you that in your darkest hour, God is there. He doesn't forsake you. In fact, he's right there. And during your pruning process, it's the closest the master will ever get to you. He's right there next to you, pruning you. It's the closest he will be to you. So take courage and know that God is in the process of something in your life, and that God loves you. He loves you. That's why he's so close to you. That's why he takes out his holy lopping shears and does something in your life, is because he wants you to go in a direction that he knows that's best. You know, remember that old saying, that old TV show, Father Knows Best? We have to trust that our Father knows best what to do in each of our lives. I don't know what's best for your life, but Father God does. Thank you, Father, for your word this morning. I thank you, God, that you are a gracious, loving Father that loves your children, that cares for your children so much that you will prune things out of our lives that are not good for us, that are not healthy for us. will bring us down wrong paths. We just thank you in advance for everything you're doing, even in the future, the things that you still have to prune in our lives. We just thank you in advance because we know that you love us with a holy love and that you will never do anything that's harmful to us, that will hurt us, because you are a God that loves your children. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Okay. I needed that.
Mm-hmm.
Bless you. Now go into the service and worship the Lord and have a wonderful time.